Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 15, page 1272 in your Scofield Bible. We'll read the last three verses of chapter 2 and into the first five verses of chapter 3. These eight verses, we'll read them responsively. The fifth verse of the third chapter is the text verse for this morning's message. Once more, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, reading responsively through chapter 3, verse 5. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that we both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts unto the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And let's pray. And Father, please grant your special presence, your blessing upon this service. We come because we want to come, most of us, and we expect something. And it's a wonderful tradition through these years to come expectantly and find in this place that which you give and that which delights the heart and encourages the soul. And we pray for thy blessing once more. Now attune our hearts to thy word and to the preaching of thy man. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, the patient waiting of Christ. We read a while ago one little line in verse 5 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 where it says, the one little line, the patient waiting of Christ. I want to add one verse to that before I pray and speak. I, John, who also am your brother, and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. There's that line, patience of Jesus Christ. Was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I doubt if there's a word in the English language that is more misunderstood than the word patience. I doubt if there's a word in the Bible that is more misinterpreted than the word patience. I want to speak on the subject, the patient waiting of Christ. The Lord Jesus knew, as I taught you a week ago this past Wednesday night, the Lord Jesus knew from the age of 12, I mean as a boy in his earthly body, that he was to go to the cross. All the time. Bible says in the 88th Psalm that from his youth he knew it. Bible says that his mind was diverted all that time. It means that everything that he did, though his mind was on something else, it kept coming back to him. I've got to die. I've got to go to the cross. Calvary is my portion. It never left him. For 21 years, it never left him. He knew as a lad, teenage boy, he had to die on the cross. He knew when he would die. He knew how he would die. He knew where he would die. He knew at whose hands he would die. And yet, he never opened his mouth. He never defended himself. He never talked back. He just kept on doing God's will, even though the shadow of his death on the cross was before him. And then the Bible says that we can be companions with him in that patience. Father, my sermon this morning will apply to everybody, but it'll give special application to probably 10 or 15% of the people in this room. Maybe more, but some application to everybody. So I pray that you would serve the portion or the portion as you see our needs today from this great truth of thy book. In Jesus' name, amen. There are some burdens that come to us for a season. The load falls upon us, and we bear a heavy, heavy burden. But that burden passes away. I'm talking about the burden of a disease like pneumonia, or a disease like mononucleosis, or hepatitis. I'm talking about a disease that puts us in crisis for a while, maybe. The family is anxious, prayerful, concerned. And yet, in a few weeks or months, it passes over. There is a complete recovery. The burden is gone. I'm talking about a burden like a financial burden of unemployment, a layoff, perhaps. And for a few months, it doesn't seem like you can ever meet your obligations again. But after a while, they called you back to work. And after a while, you get your debts paid. Well, I don't know of anybody that ever has. But you get your debts paid, and the big burden is lifted. Now, it was a real burden. It was a heavy burden. And certainly one that was hard to bear. But it was lifted. Now, there's a second type of burden. There's the kind of burden that lingers for a long time. The kind of burden that you may have for years or many months. And that kind of burden is a longer burden. It does lift. But it lingers for a long time. Now, when a person bears up under that kind of burden, the Bible calls that long suffering. Long suffering. It means that you do not complain, you don't whine, you don't blame God, you don't rebel because of a burden that lingers on and on and on and on. That's long suffering. But now, wait a minute. Are you listening? There are some burdens that never go away. Never. Just as there are some burdens that will go away soon, and some burdens that will linger a long time and go away, that requires us to exert the quality of long suffering, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit, part of the fruit of the Spirit. But there are some burdens that never go away. You realize it'll never leave. That thing that weighed you down this morning is not one that's going to flee in a few weeks or a few months or a few years. You know, as long as you live, you're going to have to carry that burden. Bearing up under that is what the Bible word patience is. Bearing up under a brief burden is not the Bible word patience. Bearing up under a long burden that will leave someday is not the Bible word for patience. The Bible word for patience is the word, comes from two words. One word which means to bear up, and the other word which means abide. Abide. It means that you live having to bear it. You live with that load. That burden does not visit you. It lives there and will live there as long as you live. The problem won't leave you, and you can't leave the problem. Back here this morning, we have some deaf people. Now, there was a time when those children were born to happy parents just like you were. There was a time, I've heard Dr. Bill Rice tell this so often, how that suddenly they realized that little Betty, their daughter, was not responding to their talking. And they got to wondering if she was hard of hearing. And finally they found out that she was deaf. But they could not accept it as being permanent. They went to every doctor they could go to, had every test that they could give, hoping that it would be a temporary burden, or at worst, a long burden that would leave, which would require only long suffering. And then one day the message came. She'll never hear. She'll never hear. She'll never hear your voice. She'll never hear an I love you. She'll never hear the church choir sing. I've heard Dr. Bill use these very words. She'll never hear the noise of a cricket or the sound of a whippoorwill. Never hear. Now, Dr. Bill Rice, one of the most charming men ever met. His wife, Kathy, one of the finest, happiest ladies you'll ever meet. They realized that their burden was there to stay. That's patience. Not having a burden that stays, but bearing up under the burden that stays. When you hold up, bear up. One of the two words of patience. Hold up. To abide under would be a good way to put it. To abide under. It's always there. Now, when you're at the place to where you abide under, but you hold up. You keep on going. You don't turn back. You don't complain. You don't blame God. Then that's what patience is. That's why the Bible talks about the patience of Job. Job's children were not going to come back in his lifetime. It was permanent. Those graves will always be there. He may have other children, but those 10 children are gone. It's a burden Job has got to bear all of his life. But Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day. I know that he abode under. He lived under the load. Not visited the load. That's long suffering. But he held up under a load that would never leave. His abode was under the load. The load lived on him, and he lived under it. It will never leave as long as he lives. You must hold up the rest of your life. People sometimes say, hang on, the victory's going to come. The truth is, I'm talking today about hanging on. The victory's not going to come. The child will never hear. I'm talking about the parents of these blind people back here in our blind department, who one day noticed that the child would not follow their hands or fingers and noticed the child was not following movement. They had the child checked and found out the child was blind. They did everything they could to try to get it corrected, and then suddenly one day they had to face the issue. My child will never see. Never see a sunrise. He'll never see a sunset. He'll never see the petals of a rose. He'll never see his mother. Never see his father. Never see the beauty of nature. Never see a tree. Never see the autumn leaves. And all of a sudden, parents of the people had to realize, it's here to stay. Now, when you hold up under that, that's what patience is. When something comes into your life, and I'm talking to hundreds of people this morning, when something comes into your life, it's not going to leave. It will never let up. You must live with it. You will never wake up and find it gone. That, ladies and gentlemen, is patience. It is cancer. Our fears, the worst, has been realized. It is cancer. I know I've heard 5 people say that to me this week. It is cancer. We have it. It's here. It's not benign tumor. It's cancer. And all of a sudden you stop and realize, this is nothing that's going to flee away. This is here to stay. The baby will never be normal. Oh, I prayed this week for the dear little baby that was operated on, and I forgot the name all of a sudden. Tiffany Wolf. I knew Wolf. I forgot Tiffany's name. Little Tiffany Wolf. Operated on this week. And when they realized, this is it, her father, who has the arm amputated and has the hook for her arm, in fact, one of the best basketball players in his whole state because he had such a good hook shot. That was a funny one. But I mean, there's a day the guy had to stop and realize, my arm is gone. It's not going to come back. I've lost it. There's nothing I can do about it. So bless God, I'll bear up under it. I'll take it. I'll love God anyway. I'll not turn back. I'll keep on going. I'll do God's will. I'll live for God. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what patience is. And then when all of a sudden added to that, little child comes along. May never be normal. These folks over here in the Pathfinders, there's a day when their mothers and fathers realize they were educable slow. And they'll never be able to get a degree from college or a diploma from high school. And suddenly, all of a sudden, it dawned on them, there's no cure for this. And this is here to stay. It's here to live. I've got to abide under it. I'm not passing under it. I'm not passing through. It's not passing over. It's here to stay. And yet, keep on serving God. Keep on loving God. Keep on holding up under it. Keep on going. Keep on pressing forward. That's patience. That's patience. Bible patience is when the burden is here to stay. And there's nothing you can do about it. It'll never leave. And yet, you hold up. Now, what does it mean, the patient waiting of Christ? Here's what it means. Jesus knew he had to go to Calvary. There was not one single waking moment between the time that he was 12 and the time he was 33 that this burden ever lifted. He knew that someday those hands that worked in the carpenter shop would have nails through them. And as he used that hammer and drove those nails into boards, he knew that nails like that would someday pierce his hands and pierce his feet. He knew that just like he was taking that wood and carving that wood and making furniture out of that wood, he knew that someday his body would be on a piece of wood and he would die the awful death of a criminal. He knew he'd have to appear before Pilate's hall. He knew he'd be wrongly tried. He knew he'd have to suffer the shame and the awful the heartache of separation from God. He knew that God the Father would turn his back on him. He knew it wouldn't leave. And yet Jesus was patient. He kept on. He said, I delight to do thy will, O God. I come to do thy will, O God. Talking to folks this morning who have an opportunity for patience. Because there's something in your life that will never be normal, but you're bitter at God. Don't you ever get bitter at God. God is good. Well, I can't see it. Well, God's good whether you can see it or not. Well, I don't understand it. God's good whether you understand it or not. Well, I just can't figure it out. Well, you can figure it out one of these days. You just put your little heart down on this. God is good. Amazing. One person can have a tragedy happen or a burden come that's there to stay. He'll spend his life complaining against God and bitter against God. And that same thing can happen to another person. And that person says, I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I love him. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I love him. Now that person is patient. Jesus lived with the entire awareness he would die. He never got to pass through it. This load and shadow never passed over him. It was always there. I'm going to die. As a teenage boy, 13 years old, I'm going to die. I'm going to die the death of the cross. The Bible says that's what you and I may have. We may have the patience of Christ. God says to those of you this morning who have burdens that will not lift and heartaches that will not go, and you abide under them, and you know you've got to abide the rest of your life, God says you have the possibility of having patience because, and not only that, the patience of Christ. Bible speaks of these. Paul had his thorn in the flesh. Paul hoped that thorn in the flesh would only require long suffering. He asked God to remove it, but God didn't. He came back to God the second time and said, God, remove it, and God didn't. He came back the third time and asked God to remove it, and God didn't. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. I'll give you grace to bear it. And Paul realized, whatever it was, I do not know what it was. Some folks think that Paul's, in fact, all of these things are possibilities. I have read, some folks think it was Paul's eye problem. His eye problem that caused him to have to write with big letters and could hardly see. They think that was his thorn. I don't know. Some folks think his thorn in the flesh was seizures of epilepsy while he was preaching. I do not know. Some folks think his thorn in the flesh was fever that seized him in the pulpit. I do not know. Some folks think that it was his mother-in-law lived with him. I think that's what it was. But some folks think that he had an enemy that gave his life to heckle him. And I don't know what it was. But I know this. I know one thing. God came and said, Paul, you're going to have to bear it the rest of your life. And he said, my grace is sufficient. And Paul kept on going. He didn't turn back. He didn't quit. He didn't stop. He kept on going. Why? He knew it. He wanted to suffer the patient waiting. In 1 Peter 2:20, it talks about patience in affliction. A disease that will never leave you. In 2 Corinthians 6:4, it talks about the patience in trials. Trials and heartaches and burdens that will never leave you. In Hebrews 12:10, it talks about the patience of chastisement, suffering. That'll never leave you. It'll always be there. Now the question comes, what do you do to have patience? When all of a sudden it comes to you, it's not going to leave. The disease is here to stay. The disease in my body is here to stay. The disease in the body of my child is here to stay. It's leukemia. One little infant in our church was born with leukemia recently. And all of a sudden you realize, it's leukemia. Or the child's little leg will never be normal. Or the child will never see. Or the child will never hear. Or the child has muscular dystrophy. Or the child has multiple sclerosis. It's there. It's not going to leave. What can you do? Luke 21:19 says, in your patience possess ye your souls. One of the best verses in the Bible. What does it mean? When the trial comes and you know it'll never be lifted, possess your soul. What does it mean? It means you be in charge of yourself. Don't crack up. Don't fly off the handle. Don't react wrongly. You decide how you act. Possess your own souls. Don't you let your burden change your course. Don't you let your burden change your destiny. Don't you let your burden change your disposition. Don't you let your burden change your behavior. Don't you let your burden stop your faith. It means in your patience. When that burden comes, that will not leave. And you have to live under it, not visit under it, not pass under it, but live under it. It says possess your own soul. It means don't react, but act. Don't let it change your behavior. This thought came to me this week. If you won't let adversity tire you, you will soon tire adversity. If you won't let adversity tire you, you will soon tire adversity. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a jungle we live in here. Life is a vale of tears. And you can't, listen, you're not, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not being incompassionate or uncompassionate or discompassionate, whatever that is. I'm not being that way. But I want to say, you're not the first person ever had the disease you've got. You're not the only person that has that disease you've got. You're not the only person that carries the burden that you have. You're not the first person that's carried the burden you have. And I've got news for you. You can bear up under that burden. And you can do it without responding. You can do it without reacting. You can do it without getting bitter at somebody else or God. You can do it. And what God is saying, when you do it, you enter into the very patience of Jesus Christ Himself, because that's what His patience was. With the shadow of Calvary always over Him, with the pounding of the hammer on the nails always being heard by His ears, and with the cross always looming before Him when He was 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18 and 19 and 20 and a young man and on up when He was 33 years of age. He never lived without thinking of the cross. Not one minute, but He held up. And He did not change His disposition, did not change His personality, did not change His love, did not change His gentleness, did not change His kindness, did not change His behavior. And God says, if you this morning have that kind of burden, it's not going to leave. It is not going to leave. It's there to stay. Now, I have some. You have some. Not going to leave. The Bible says, do not let that control your behavior. You control your behavior. You decide how you're going to act. Well, I just lost my temper. Patience is controlling your temper. I lost my cool. Patience is controlling your cool. By the way, not just when something hits you like that, but when something hits you that's going to be there the rest of your life. And you know it's going to be there the rest of your life. But you say, with the grace of Almighty God, I'm in charge of this body. I will decide whether I get mad or not. I will decide. I will act, not react. I will not let emotion and discomfort and trial and heartaches determine, hey, I will be my own man. That's what He's talking about. Now, don't let adversity cause or determine how you respond or how you behave. Now, what to do? Listen carefully. What should you do? Maybe you just heard your child is deaf and will never hear. Maybe you've just heard you have cancer. It'll never leave. Maybe you've just heard your child is retarded and always will be. Maybe a burden has come to you recently and you thought it would leave, but all of a sudden you realize it'll never leave. It's there to stay. Here's what you do. You do what you ought to do in every negative thing in life. You look at the advantages instead of the disadvantages. Now, what are the advantages? Tell you what they are. Listen to this carefully. John wrote this from the Isle of Patmos. Nobody lived on Patmos but John. He was exiled to a barren island, realizing that he was there. As far as he was concerned, he was there to stay. He could never leave. Listen to what he said. I, John, writing to us, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom, and patience of Jesus Christ. John said, if I can be patient and bear up without rebellion, without bitterness on the Isle of Patmos, I can be a companion of Jesus Christ. Now you listen to me. The people in this room this morning who know Him the best are those who are living in patience. Not long-suffering. Not something that will hurt for a while and pass away. The people in this room this morning who have the closest fellowship with Jesus Christ are those who are living under a burden. It'll never go away. And Jesus said, I know how that is. That's exactly the way I had to live for 21 years. I'll come be especially close to you if you'll be patient and under that thing that'll never leave. You always need Him. See, some of you call on Him when you're in trouble. Others of you are always in trouble. So you call on Him all the time. If you have a burden to come and then flee, for example, there are folks in this room this morning. You had pain in your chest. And others of you are pain in the neck. But you had a pain in your chest. Just want to see if you're listening. And you had a pain in the neck. Anyway, you had a pain in your chest. You got worried, concerned. Went to the doctor. He took some tests. Told you to let you know within 6 months what was wrong with you. Seemed like 6 months. And then the report came back. It's just heartburn. Well, he said, okay, God, see you next time the pain comes. But if the pain never leaves, you never wave goodbye to it. And he's sweeter to you. The companionship with Christ, I'd like to testify this morning. For years in my life, troubles came and went. Your life too. I'm not the only one here. Most of us that have been living for several years, same thing. Troubles came and went. And then there came some troubles who stayed a long time. And I had to exert the grace of long suffering. But then there came some troubles that will never leave. They'll always be there. There's no way that cloud will ever be blown away. There's no way the hurt will ever stop. I'd like to testify. I know Him better now than I've ever known Him in my life. I love Him more today than I've ever loved Him in my life. I spend more time with Him than I ever have in my life. I love this book more than I've ever loved this book in my life. My Savior is more precious to me today than He ever has been. You know why? Because I've had to learn some patience. I've had to learn that there's some problems that are not going to leave. I've had to learn that there's some problems you're going to abide under the rest of your life. So let me say to those of you today who have those problems, congratulations to you. You have an opportunity that nobody else here has. You have an opportunity to know Him like nobody else knows Him. Welcome to the Know Him Club. Welcome to the Companionship Club. Are you listening to me? Welcome to the Companionship Club. He comes to you in a special way. If you hold up. I still don't know how much longer I can take it. You can take it as long as you live. And I said, it's heavier than I can bear. It's not any heavier than you can bear. There is no temptation taken you but what is common to man. And God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God never puts a load on you, but what He puts more strength in you to exactly hold up the load He put on you. You can make it. That's patience. If that's what the way God is, I won't serve a God like that. Oh, you missed a wonderful opportunity to know Him better. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to go to church again. If I've gone to church and I've served God, look how it's all turned out. You're missing a mighty good chance. God's wanting to get to know you better. God's wanting to live with you. See, He abides with those who abide under burdens and hold up. That's what patience is. There's something else that patience gives you. Not only does patience give you companionship with Christ, but patience also gives you a greater desire to see Him. You want to see Him more. Why? He's with you. If you know somebody but have never seen them, you talk to them on the phone every day. For example, I don't know how many years I've been having my books printed at the same place. Nicholstone Press and Bindery in Nashville, Tennessee. Mr. Lucy, L-U-C-Y, is the man I do business with. I'm going to guess 20 years, 15 maybe, 20 years. I've never seen him. I've never seen the guy. Talked to him on the phone dozens and dozens of times. Never seen him. You've proofread. You ever seen him? Never seen him. She proofreads all my books. That's why there's many mistakes in them. But she's never seen. I've never seen Mr. Lucy. When I talk on the phone, sometimes I picture a big fat fellow weighs about 200. Sometimes a fellow that's thin and trim like I am. Sometimes I picture a young man. Sometimes I picture some old man, 61 or more. I don't know what it looks like. But I'm sort of curious. Well, after you've walked with Jesus for years and years, and you've held up under the burden that He places over you, and that burden lives there and it never leaves, you get to where you want to see Him. I ask Him almost every week, or tell Him, I wonder how tall you are. I wonder how much you weigh. What color is your hair? What color eyes do you have? What does your voice sound like? How's your smile? My mama knows now. She knew before she died. She pointed to me and said, there he is right there. As she was approaching the threshold of the new world. Makes you want to see him more. When you, like Jesus did, 21 years, same load, never left. No wonder he said, Father, restore unto me the joy which I had with thee before the world was. What he was saying was, Father, I want to come home. I want to see you. And after you've been a companion in patience with him, and after you have been under this cloud that will never blow away, and under this heartache that will never leave, and this sadness or sorrow under which you'll have to abide the rest of your life, praise God today, it lets you know Jesus better and makes you want to see him more. That's the beauty of growing older. I won't tell you, young whippersnapper, something. It ain't near as bad as you think it's going to be. You dreading growing older. It's not so bad. Because as you grow older, you get so much smarter than you little young idiots are. You say, well, how? But you don't look as good. I know, but your eyes are worse. And you look in the mirror, to you it looks the same as it always did. I look the same. The only thing that bothers me, sometimes I'll be around my son-in-law or one of my sons-in-law or my son, and I'll look at them for a while, and then I'll go to the mirror and look, and I think, oh, my soul, who's that? But it's not near as bad as you think. You know why? Now follow me carefully, and I'll be through. You start your life having burdens. And most of those burdens come and stay for a while, and they leave. As you grow older, the burden comes and stays longer. And you have to exercise the grace of long-suffering. But then as you grow older, one by one, come the burdens that will never leave. And all of a sudden you realize, this is never going to leave me. I've got to live with this rest of my life, and I know that. And as they come, day by day, he becomes dearer. I mean that. I'm not preaching to you, I'm testifying. Day by day, as the burdens come that will never leave, he grows sweeter. Sweeter as the days go by. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and he's the one I'm living for or looking for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And so he becomes dearer. And then as these burdens keep coming that'll never leave, it's interesting about this. He more than compensates for them. Because his presence, brother, but more than compensate for anything. I don't know what the burden is you have, but I guarantee his presence will more than compensate for that burden. And then, day by day, you want to see him more. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Oh, I want to thank him for his saving grace. I thought this morning, how good God is. Little things like this. Woke up this morning, went to get me a shirt. I had one shirt clean. That's all. One. That's the one I got on. That's why I look so nice. But one shirt clean, that's all. Well, I've got tomorrow, I've got Tuesday, I've got Wednesday, I've got to leave tomorrow morning on my weekly journey on Monday. No clean shirts. Only one I got on. I thought, good night, by the time I get home Wednesday night, you can stand this shirt up in the corner and it won't even flop. You think you got burdens. And I said, dear Lord, I'm going to leave too early Monday morning to get me a shirt. And I got to have one Monday morning anyway, because I'll perspire this one down. In mornings, I perspire it down. In nights, I sweat it down. And went to my office, tried to find a shirt in my office. All my shirts in the laundry. Tried to find them in the office. Only thing I had was a 16 and a half, 35. Well, I don't wear a 35. I got a shorter sleeve than that. So I figured out I was going to sew that sleeve up a little bit. I got my thread out, needle out, sew it up. Just going to fold it up like that, and pray I don't take my stupid shirt off accidentally while I'm Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I heard a noise at the door. Went to the door. I forgot. My mother, every Father's Day for years, my mother bought me a box of new shirts. When she went to heaven, my sister kept up the habit. And there was a box of new shirts sitting outside my door. Yeah, I felt like I was on a honeymoon with Jesus all of a sudden. I don't know why. But there they are. The people where I preach Monday will appreciate it. And the folks I preach with to Wednesday night will appreciate it too, by the way. I'm simply saying He's wonderful. He's wonderful. Those of you this morning who have burdens that will never leave, you have the opportunity for patience. And that patience means that you become a companion of Christ in a way that no one else will ever know. And that means that that burden that will never leave, that heartache that will never leave, that problem that will be with you till you die, presents you an opportunity to love Him more and to more anticipate the day when you will see Him, which means simply this. It'll make you want to untie the strings down here. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Brother Monty, you're going to have that limp. It's going to be over you the rest of your life. Brother Ray, you got a burden. Going to be over you. Tiffany, Brother Wolf, it's going to stay there. A lot of you rescue mission men, it's not ever going to leave. You dear precious people over here, it's there to stay as long as you live. You dear blind folks back here, it's going to stay. Your eyes will open in the morning, but you won't see any more than you did while they were shut. And you deaf folks back here, it's going to stay. It's going to stay. It's not going to leave. And to others of you all over this room who have a burden that's going to require more than long suffering, it's going to require patience. You have the blessed opportunity that nobody else has unless they have the same type load. You can know Him in a way that's special and desire to see Him with the heartbeat of a lover walking toward the altar to meet His bride. Our Heavenly Father,